Voice of Indonesia, the overseas service of Radio Republic Indonesia, broadcast in 9 language services: English, French, German, Dutch, Spanish, Arabic, Mandarin, Japanese, and Indonesian. Voice of Indonesia is broadcast by shortwave 3325 kHz and 4755 kHz and via streaming on voanews.id and RRI Digital on mobile application. We present various programs for you: Diplomatic Forum, The Session, Indonesian Wonder, Miscellany, Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, Indonesian Pop and Regional Songs, International Musical Entertainment, as well as news and information about Indonesia and abroad. Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world. From Jakarta, Indonesia, here is Voice of Indonesia with English program. Presenting news, information, and entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen to our program through shortwave 3325 kHz and 4755 kHz. Online streaming, voanews.id and RRI Digital mobile application. Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world. From Listener, you're listening to the Voice of Indonesia with highlight of the week, presenting you what is happening in Indonesia this week with me, Steve. You can listen to this on voanews.id, RRI Digital, and the frequencies 3325 kHz and 4755 kHz. These are the top stories. Indonesia begins evacuation process for Indonesian citizens from Iran. Ambassador delivers Canada's commitment to support Indonesia's development programs. Here is highlight of the week. Indonesian government will begin the evacuation process for Indonesian citizens in Iran, especially those living in the city of Tehran and its surrounding. Indonesian Minister of Foreign Affairs Sugiono Thursday said this step was taken after seeing the increasingly unfavorable development of the situation related to the war between Israel and Iran.
Dari perkembangan dua hari ini,
from the developments in the past 2 days, where the intensity of Israeli attacks has increased and aimed not only military but also civilian targets, I have decided to increase the alert level at the Tehran embassy from alert level 2 to alert level 1, and then also begin implementing contingency measures and evacuation steps for Indonesian citizens.
Furthermore, Minister Sugiono added that the Indonesian government also established communications with Iran's neighboring countries regarding the evacuation steps for Indonesian citizens. According to him, Indonesia has asked them to help the evacuation process by providing convenience for Indonesian citizens to cross the country's borders because the situation is increasingly not conducive. Canadian Ambassador to Indonesia Timor-Leste Jess Dutton, at the celebration of 158th Canadian National Day in Jakarta Wednesday, conveyed Canada's commitment to support Indonesia in achieving various development targets. According to him, Indonesia and Canada have gone through 2024 with new milestone achievements in the partnership between the two countries. He mentioned the completion of negotiations on the Comprehensive Economic Partnership Agreement and the arrival of Canada's largest trade mission to the region, which proves Canada's high commitment to supporting Indonesia's various priorities. Ambassador Jess Dalton-Moore explained that Canadian food commodities such as wheat and potassium have supported increased agricultural productivity and food security in Indonesia. Canada, according to him, is also ready to partner with Indonesia in developing critical mineral supply chains and realizing Indonesia's potential to excel in electric vehicle battery development sector. He added, Canada is also ready to support Indonesia in achieving the vision of Golden Indonesia 2045 through investment in human resources, especially in the fields of health, economic empowerment, and women political participation. The Indonesian Ministry of Tourism is supporting the National Free Nutritious Meal Program by providing training and assistance in managing integrated kitchens to graduates of Indonesian Development Pioneer Graduates Program. During her visit to the Enhai Bandung Tourism Polytechnic in West Java on Wednesday, Minister of Tourism Widianti Putriwardana said her ministry is collaborating with the Ministry of Defense and National Nutrition Agency to conduct kitchen management training for nutrition fulfillment service units to 1,600 students. The training runs from June the 11th until 24th, 2025 at Enhai Bandung Tourism Polytechnic in West Java.
Para siswa sarjana penggerak pembangunan Indonesia.
To the students of the Indonesian Development Pioneer Graduates Program who are currently undergoing practical training, you should know that what you are doing goes beyond merely learning the technical aspect of food management. In this practice room, you are actually developing three key competencies: managerial skills, leadership maturity, and a strong sense of public service.
Kepemimpinan dan jiwa pengabdian kepada masyarakat luas.
Minister Widianti further explained that participants in this training were selected and trained to become competent kitchen managers or head chefs. She also emphasized the need for support from various parties to ensure the success of the National Free Nutritious Meal Program and to improve access to healthy nutrition for the people. Indonesian President Prabowo Subianto and Russian President Vladimir Putin discussed ties between the two countries at St. Petersburg on Thursday, June the 19th, 2025. The detail by Andy Romnoni.
Indonesian President Prabowo Subianto held a warm and constructive meeting with Russian President Vladimir Putin at the Konstantinovsky Palace at St. Petersburg on Thursday. The two leaders reaffirmed their commitment to deepening the strategic partnership between Indonesia and Russia, marking a significant moment as the two nations celebrate 75 years of diplomatic relations and underscored Indonesia's growing influence on the global stage. In a joint press statement, President Prabowo highlighted the long-standing friendship between Indonesia and Russia dating back to Indonesia's early independence. He expressed deep gratitude for Russia's historical support, particularly during the Soviet era, when the country played a crucial role in Indonesia's post-independence development. He also recalled Russia's unconditional aid during difficult times, leaving a lasting legacy in Indonesia's infrastructure.
Hubungan antara Rusia dan Indonesia sudah memiliki sejarah yang panjang.
Relations between Russia and Indonesia have a long history. This year we commemorate 75 years of diplomatic relations. The Russian Federation has always been an important partner for Indonesia in politics, economy, and socio-cultural affairs. Indonesia was newly independent and very poor at the time. The Soviet Union, with Russia at its core, provided us with immense assistance. To this day, the Indonesian people have not forgotten Russia's contributions. Even Even now, in our capital and major cities, we see large buildings, bridges, railways, and factories built with Russia's help. Meanwhile, President Putin emphasized Indonesia's role as a key partner in the Asia-Pacific region, with bilateral relations rooted in trust and friendship. President Putin noted the significance of the 75th anniversary of diplomatic ties, stating that Prabowo's visit to Russia will advance bilateral ties between Indonesia and Russia. This year, we celebrate 75 years of bilateral relations. Our country has supported Indonesia's nation-building process and strengthened its international standing. I highly appreciate today's discussions with President Prabowo. This visit will undoubtedly advance our partnership for the prosperity of both nations. The meeting concluded with both leaders pledging to expand collaboration in trade, energy, and defense. In addition to bilateral meeting with President Putin, President Prabowo will also attend the St. Petersburg International Economic Forum that took theme Shared Values, the Foundation of Growth in a Multipolar World.
Indonesia and Russia uphold each country's similar principles in international affairs and prioritize collaboration over confrontation. The detail by Andi Rondodi.
Indonesian President Prabowo Subianto and Russian President Vladimir Putin emphasized their nation's shared perspectives on key global and regional issues during a bilateral meeting at Konstantinovsky Palace on Thursday. The joint press conference following their talks highlighted remarkable alignment in foreign policy approaches between Jakarta and Moscow. President Prabowo stressed that Indonesia and Russia uphold similar principles in international affairs, particularly regarding conflict resolution and respect for national sovereignty. In the international arena, as President Putin mentioned, Indonesia and Russia share numerous common views. We respect every nation's sovereignty, seek peaceful solutions to problems, and always prioritize collaboration over confrontation.
Daripada konflik.
Echoing this sentiment, President Putin noted the two countries not only share perspectives, but actively coordinate in multilateral forums, including in the United Nations. Our positions on most global and regional issues are remarkably similar or nearly identical. Both nations uphold sovereignty principles in international affairs and support peaceful development in the Asia-Pacific region. We coordinate closely at the UN and other platforms. Both leaders further agreed to maintain regular high-level consultations, with Putin accepting an invitation to visit Jakarta next year to further solidify the partnership. President Prabowo Subianto made a state visit to Russia on June 18 to 20 in order to fulfill the invitation of President Vladimir Putin. In addition to meeting Putin, Prabowo is also scheduled to attend the St. Petersburg International Economic Forum. Andi Ramdoni, Voice of Indonesia.
Russian President Vladimir Putin says Indonesia is a key trade partner in Southeast Asia when he met with President Prabowo Subianto. More detail by Dora Pardede.
Russian President Vladimir Putin emphasized that Indonesia is one of Russia's main trading partners in Southeast Asia. He made this statement while welcoming President Prabowo Subianto at the Konstantinovsky Palace in St. Petersburg, Russia, on Thursday. Putin stated that in 2024, the trade volume between the two countries reached $4.3 billion. He noted that during the first 4 months of the year, the trade volume increased by 40%. Putin expressed confidence that Indonesia and Russia will find new cooperation opportunities following the signing of a free trade agreement.
I am convinced that new prospects for strengthening mutual trade will undoubtedly open after the establishment of a free trade zone between Indonesia and the Eurasian Economic Union. I hope that the agreement will be signed in the near future.
Putin revealed that Russia is open to cooperation in various sectors. In agriculture, Russia is expanding with supplies to Indonesia and facilitating the export of Indonesian agricultural products to the Russian Federation. In April, Indonesia and Russia signed a memorandum of understanding in the field of halal infrastructure, which opened up new opportunities for livestock product export to Indonesia. According to Putin, Russia is also willing to increase its supply of oil and liquefied natural gas to the Indonesian market. Russia remains open to cooperation in nuclear energy, advanced technology, culture, and education. Dora Pardede, Voice of Indonesia.
Indonesia and Germany are strengthening their collaboration to enhance the governance of Indonesian migrant worker placement in Germany. Dora Pardede has the detail.
The Ministry for the Protection of Indonesia Migrant Workers, in cooperation with the German Embassy in Jakarta, is reinforcing its collaboration to improve the governance of skilled Indonesian migrant workers' placement in Europe, particularly Germany. This was conveyed by the Indonesian Minister for the Protection of Migrant Workers, Abdul Kadir Karding, during the event Indonesia-Germany Strategic Partnership, Strengthening Labor Migration Governance in Indonesia, held in Bandung on Thursday. Abdul Kadir Karding also revealed that the demand for Indonesian workers in Germany is quite high. According to him, this demand must be managed through integrated training programs provided by migrant centers.
Salah satu yang paling penting adalah kita harus.
One of the most important aspects is that we must prepare the training. That's why we will establish what we call a migrant center, an integrated vocational center. What does integration mean? Mandatory skill training must be included. Language training must be there as well. The third component is soft skills training. In this training, participants are not only mentally prepared, but they are also taught about the character, culture, and habits of the German people. Ideally, all services should be in one place, so there's no need to go elsewhere.
Orang Jerman, layanannya pun kalau bisa di situ aja, jadi nggak perlu jauh-jauh.
Abdul Kadir Karding further explained that in addition to migrant center, the Indonesian government, in collaboration with Germany, has launched Move ID, an integrated vocational hub. With the establishment of migrant center and Move ID, Karding hopes that Indonesia workers will not only be well prepared for employment but will also represent Indonesia positively on the global stage. Dora Pardede, Voice of Indonesia.
The Indonesian government has raised the protection status of Indonesian citizens in Iran from alert level 2 to alert level 1. The decision was made following the escalation of Israeli attacks on Iranian territory. Director General of Protection of Indonesian Citizens of Foreign Affairs Ministry, Yuda Nugraha, stated in a press briefing on Thursday evening, June the 19th, that the policy was taken based on the latest assessment of the security situation in Iran. As part of the protection efforts, Indonesian Embassy in Tehran also held a town hall meeting with Indonesian nationals to provide updates on the current security situation and contingency evacuation plans. Meanwhile, regarding the situation in Israel, Judah said that there are 194 Indonesian nationals currently residing in the area. At present, the embassy prepares an evacuation plan for 11 Indonesian citizens who have requested repatriation. You'd also urge all Indonesian nationals in Iran and Israel to remain vigilant, avoid non-essential outdoor activities, and follow the evacuation instructions issued by respective embassies. The ministry also advised Indonesian citizens with travel plans to Iran, Israel, Lebanon, Syria, and Yemen to postpone their trips. Indonesian Ministry of Foreign Affairs and Fisheries, in collaboration with United Nations Development Programme or UNDP, officially launched the Sea Blue Initiative in Jakarta on Thursday, June the 19th, 2025. Supported by funding from the government of Japan and forming part of the Blue Economy Roadmap implementation, the program aligns with President Prabowo's national development agenda to build a resilient and inclusive marine economy. In her remarks, UNDP Indonesia Deputy Resident Representative Sejalan Pan explained that the initiative is designed to empower coastal community through sustainable local economic development, particularly for women, while also strengthening long-term strategic partnerships between UNDP and the Ministry of Marine Affairs and Fisheries.
At its core, the initiative aims to economically empower coastal communities through livelihood strengthening and diversification programs. And these interventions are not only designed to boost productivity and reduce emissions, but to expand the opportunities of all communities, in particular the women who are the backbone of the center. Sea Blue also builds on years of partnership between KKPE and Indonesia. For instance, the Arafura and Timor Seas Ecosystem Action Program, which we've also collaborated on together.
Pan further emphasized the partnership between Ministry of Marine Affairs and Fisheries Japan and UNDP will be long-term impact not only in the areas where the project is focused, but also a scalable model for inclusive and resilient fisheries development across Indonesia. And listener, that's Highlight of the Week.
nothing special. Turn off the phone to get some special. Never thought of leaving me through. But you asked me so. It was a lovely comfort night. Far away, how to say goodbye. I've got to take me away from my sadness. Sweet home, I need to confess all the sins and take up my
You might be familiar with this sound when your kids are online. But you might miss some other sounds. Your child might stumble upon harmful content, bullies and predators when they are online. Pay attention to the sounds. It's not too late.
Mom, what's this?
Find more ways to protect children online from your local children protection agency or visit unicef.org.
Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.
Selamat menikmati Mangu.
Kau menggenggam ku menada. indahnya.
Now, here is a VOA talk about food self-sufficiency as Indonesia's promise with agro industry technology expert, Professor Tajuddin Bantajud.
Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world. Well, listener, finally, we are coming to a special interview on VOA talk. Well, you know that concerns about insufficient food access have resulted in greater policy focus on incomes, expenditure, markets, and prices in achieving food security objectives. In this case, President Prabowo Subianto has set a target for Indonesia to achieve food self-sufficiency within 3 to 4 years by expanding harvestable land to 4 million hectares by the end of his term. And to know more about this, let's have a conversation with Professor Dr. Tajuddin Bantajud as agro-industry technology expert of Institut Pertanian Bogor. Good morning, Professor Tajuddin.
Good morning. Nice to see you.
Okay, nice to see you, Mr. Professor Tajuddin. How are you today?
I'm very well. How about you?
Okay, I'm fine too. Thank you. So, well, actually, Indonesian government here, with this program, actually, in achieving food self-sufficiency, actually, if you see this from the Indonesian government, Prof, can it be achieved during 3 to 4 years?
From now, right? Okay. Thank you very much for question. Before addressing your question, I'd like to highlight that food self-sufficiency is closely tied to food security. I don't forget about that, okay? Which encompasses three key aspects. The first one is availability, no? Or sufficiency, production, and supply. That's very important. And the second one is accessibility, or widespread availability to all segments of society. The last one is affordability, so, or the ability to purchase food at reasonable price. Okay. So, for instance, no, despite Indonesian bullock supplying rice in recent months, price have been rising. The amount of stock is increased, but the price is still increasing. This is my concern. To answer your question, I'm not concerned about rice production sufficiency over the next 3 years. I am not worried. No, within 3 to 5 years, it will be okay. So it can be achieved through relatively straightforward measure. One is ensuring adequate input like seed and fertilizer. And the second one is guaranteeing fair price through government intervention. And the last one is adopting a mobile stock approach. No? This is new thing. I call before it's dynamic stock, but now we are moving forward to mobile stock approach. where rice stock is sold in markets, mm-hmm. not under under state control, but not already then stored in warehouse. I think I'm not worried about achieving in 3 to 5 years. It will be okay.
Okay, Prof. Tajuddin, you mentioned about here about the food security, talking about the it needs also such the government intervention to materialize it, Prof. Actually, what kind of intervention, Prof, besides this, in order to achieve about the target for food security?
Right. Looking ahead to the next 3 to 5 years, mm-hmm. while agriculture, intervention is improvement versus technology. Okay. Agriculture technology may not seem dramatic change in the next 3 to 5 years, but it is essential to focus to ensuring adequate input. Mm-hmm. and effective post-harvest management. And that, in that way, I request and I suggest that government should strongly be improving two things. During peak harvest period, mm-hmm. especially for rice, with option fall during the rainy season, mechanical drying technology, dryer become vital. Okay? So, I recommend that the government support farmer group or cooperative mm-hmm. to have a dryer, support dryer, because mechanical dryer will ensure the quality of dry body, and it will affect the yield in rice mill. So by supporting the community or the farmer group with dryer, it will safe and will guarantee that the harvest of body will be safe. So, or another way, I'd like to recommend also, Bulog mm-hmm. should more, to invest more in modern rice mill that are comprehensive and accessible to all farmers through streamlined procurement system. So I mentioned that the support, the implement, the government, intervention should be price mm-hmm. and support the input like a fertilizer and everything seed. Okay, and the last one is should facilitate farmer group to handling harvest well by supporting them with adequate dryer. I think that's the important one.
So you mean stabilizing price and also giving such education for farmers is also important, Prof.
Yes, okay. Sure. You're right.
Yeah. Okay, Prof. Tajuddin, we know that in this case, the Indonesian Defense Ministry, in this case, and also from the Indonesian military, opens new personnel. This is more than 20,000 personnel for TNI. I mean, especially this personnel will be used for agriculture, including for farmers, sir. Prof. So, what is your comment, sir, in this case?
Well, supporting the farmer with anything is good, okay? But we have to looking at the effectivity of the support. Now, based to what we have been seeing so far, that Indonesia is in 2024. Mm-hmm. Now, the estimation before, during President Joko Widodo era was 31.2 million ton, and the current estimation by the USDA outlook April said that we will have 34.6 million ton of rice, milled rice, mm-hmm. meaning we will be having surplus about 1 million ton. Okay. So, based on that, the support is not only in the procurement side, mm-hmm. but in product side and in marketing side. Not only selling, but marketing. Right? Because the problem with our farmer is small land size. Mm-hmm. With that size, cannot be fulfill their needs. They have rice, but they don't have a house. They don't have other food. Don't have money to go to the health facility, go to school, and even more than that, just enough for but stable food. They don't have other. So support must be given from the beginning, upstream into downstream. Okay, I think that's the answer.
Yes, but this is also, Prof. Tajuddin, also related to the statement from Central Statistic Agency or BPS Area Sample Framework data until July 2025. It is also estimated that there will be a rice production surplus of more than 2.8 million tons. Does it also mean that Indonesia almost achieved the target of food self-sufficiency, Prof, if we see about this target?
Well, according to the figure you have cited, Indonesia will reach quantitative rice self-sufficiency, quantitatively, okay? Nevertheless, from a qualitative standpoint, I believe true self-sufficiency require maintaining a surplus over 5 consecutive years, okay, without supply driven price volatility. So 1 year, this is not guaranteed, okay? Now, alongside a stable rising production trend, I'm worried that any self-sufficiency achieved might be short-lived streaming from a temporary boost, yeah? Much like our experience in earlier 1980s during the President Suharto era. We achieved a rise self-sufficiency, but only 1 year, okay? And next year, we also were importing a lot of rice.
So, talking about challenges, Prof, we believe that in fulfilling about the target of having such food stability, there are also such maybe challenges that maybe the government would face. How do you see this, Prof?
Well, development is facing problem. There is no opportunity without constraint. The good government in how they can manage the constraint or even transform the constraint into opportunity. A lot of constraint, of course, the level of technology applied by the community. And the main problem in Indonesian agriculture is land size. You cannot improve efficiency and doing a lot of support effectively with that land size less than 0.5 hectare. There are about 17 million farmers with that size. So to me, development is to improve community, in this case farmer prosperity, not only to increase the production. As I mentioned before, the government have been very successfully increase the production, but not developing agriculture. Okay. So there are a lot of constraint and a lot of problems to be faced. Now I think there are a lot of achievement reached by the government in terms of shortening the channel of, for example, fertilizer supply. At the right time, now farmers said that they got the fertilizer at the right time and at the right price. So, but a lot of problems still remaining. Okay, agriculture infrastructure is still limited, and marketing channel is still very long. So, I think the government should focus on that problem.
Okay, Prof. Tajuddin, if we see about, the growth of population of Indonesia, that more than 250,000 people, actually, what is the appropriate, maybe I can say like big province or big island such as Sumatra, Java, Kalimantan, Sulawesi or Papua? Actually, if we see about these growth populations, Prof, that more than 250 millions of Indonesian people, I mean, which one is the appropriate province or appropriate islands that this is exactly for growing or developing the food security, sir, and also economic culture?
This means that we are looking at the land availability. Okay. So Java is very dense. is a very populated land. So I guess, well, it's guessing, not estimation again. I guess that in the next 30 to 40 years, maybe about 20% of agricultural land will be converted into another uses like industry, housing, infrastructure, and so on. Meanwhile, the development of agriculture outside of Java is still very limited. Okay. Now, if you are looking at where we should be developing agriculture, of course, we have to go to a little bit Sumatra. Sumatra is not many lands now. Yeah? It's getting smaller and smaller because urbanization also happening, and then people out from Java also moving there, and then plantation also growing. So many things facing the agriculture, the development of agriculture. So I think the best choice is now for plantation is Kalimantan and Papua. No, they have land. But you have to make sure that development in Papua and Kalimantan firstly should benefit the local community. Otherwise, there will be social problem. Okay? So to me, development of agriculture should go out of Java, Kalimantan, a little bit Sumatra. Maybe for the next 3 to 5 years, Sumatra is still okay. But afterward, it will be full also and going to Kalimantan and Papua. Papua is our future, actually. But make sure that they have their own culture, belong related to land. We have to consider that, how to improve them in that production so that we have enough food and we have a good farmer and they are very happy. So that's the important thing.
Okay, Prof. Tajuddin, as you mentioned before about the strategies, and even that you mentioned before about targeting the food sufficiency, I mean, after targeting this, that means that Indonesia doesn't need to import rice anymore.
Well, if we are now have to move, have to change our mind from talking about rice to talking about food. Okay, staple food mean is carbohydrate. No, like a green, palma, and then tubers, and all, of course rice and wheat. That is the source of carbohydrate. Now the problem is how to keep the stability, food stability, not only for short time but long time. I think this is great question. Yeah? Stability is indeed the key to achieving self-sufficiency and food security. To address this, we need both short-term and long-term strategies. Okay? In the short term, it is essential to ensure that the production input like fertilizer and seed are readily available and that agriculture extension services are providing effective support. For the long term, promoting diversification. And diversification of staple food. Now, that is still limited in our situation. Indonesia is fortunate to have a diverse range of carbohydrate sources, with sagu being one of the most abundant. With approximately 5 million hectares of sagu plantation, although this may have decreased around 4 million. That's my estimation. Mm-hmm. Okay. So proper management of just 1 million hectare could yield around 30 million tons of starch, equivalent to rice. Okay. So sago resiliency to climate, sago is very much stronger than rice to cope with climate change. So to make food security stability, we have to diverse. We have a good resource, what we call sago. Sago if we use totally 5 million, mm-hmm. it can be 150 million stock, ton stock per year. It can feed all Asian countries. So, but now we do not use that, and we deny that that is resources. We always we seeing the problem because it's mostly in the remote area. So stability first start with diversity. Okay.
Okay. So really, sir, what you say said about here about the challenge even by facing climate change as well as land quality degradation, maybe actually what should be anticipated by the Indonesian government, sir, in order to have such stability, self food stability, sir.
Dealing with climate change, you mean?
Yes.
Okay. Right. Facing climate change, in 2022, mm-hmm. I lead an ad hoc committee of the IPB Professional Council to discuss food security through a series of discussion mm-hmm. That is dealing with the climate change. From this discussion, it was concluded that one of the concerns about the impact of climate change on agriculture production, particularly food crop, yeah, is becoming increasingly evident. Okay, therefore, it is necessary to one, okay, make serious effort to reduce the rate of climate change, mm-hmm. yeah, such as controlling greenhouse gas emission, pollution and environmental degradation. By 2030, if possible, we should aim for net zero carbon emission. Okay, and then second one, start food diversification immediately. So right now, with tangible result expected by 2030. The last one is make conservation of natural resources a part of daily life for the wider community, such as reducing food waste and food losses. So that is dealing with climate change.
Okay. So let's come to the final question, Prof. Tajuddin. Mm-hmm. Maybe you have such special message for Indonesian government in order to keep or maintaining food stability and even targeting food self-sufficiency in the future.
Well, first of all is, you know, make sure that land compression is controlled. Okay. No? Now we lost about 100 to 150,000 hectares mm-hmm. per year, losing fertile land. I think you know, in the mainstream media, we have been seeing that. Okay? So the second one, government must start coordination, no, locally and internationally. Locally, interregional cooperation between province and district. Mm-hmm. As well as international cooperation. However, the result what the government had been doing not yet effective. Interregional cooperation aim to create and adhere to agriculture production plan. What the problem is in Indonesia? We do not have total production plan, agriculture production plan. Farmers just growing whatever they think good. Now suddenly everyone growing similar commodity, and we have experiences that the price going down because too much production. So that is must be planned. And then the second one, as I mentioned before, we have to control land compression. So strengthen regional income instead of centering in Jakarta and in Java. And then balance between supply and demand must be done by government. This effort is necessary because food security is not just a national issue. So international cooperation is very important. This is about humanitarian concern. So my suggestion to the government is that focus not only to rice, but also on other commodities, as we have a lot of food commodities here like cassava, sweet potato, sago, any palm-based starch, and of course many others like corn. We still have a problem with corn. Okay? I think that's my suggestion. Concern, focus not only in Java, but outside Java. Not concern, focus only on rice, but in other commodities. By doing so, my conclusion is that the strength, the stability coming from variety, no? Variation, diversity, diversity make us become stronger in terms of stability, in terms of security. Okay, I think that's so advice to the government. Okay, but I have writing a lot of comment, and I said to the government, I think maybe they have read and they have considered. Thank you very much.
All right. Thank you very much, Professor Dr. Tajuddin Bantajut, for your time to join the special review today.
You're welcome. Thank you very much.
Okay, thank you. Well, listeners, that was our special review on Voice Talk with Agro-Industry Technology Expert of Institute Pertanian Bogor with Professor Dr. Tajuddin Bantajut. Have a nice day and see you next
thank
time.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much. See you later.
RRA Digital with New Look. Various collaborative content from various national programs, including live visual broadcasts, live radio broadcasts, music playlists, podcasts, video news, and various users' interaction features in the game. Various interesting content such as likes, comments, and shares, as well as live chat with broadcasters and users. Direct messaging and private chat facilities between app users are also available. RRE Digital, available on Google Store and App Store. RRE Digital.
Samudra terbentang khatulistiwa, di situ ku ada bersamamu saudara. Beragam warna kita, suku tak selalu sama. Kau aku Indonesia yang disatukan karena cinta. Karena kita Indonesia, jangan pernah terpecah belah. Walau kita berbeda, walau kita tak sama, tetaplah satu kita, kita Indonesia sesungguhnya.
Well, that's all, folks. Thank you very much for listening. You can tell us how you think about the program to our email voalisteners@gmail.com, our application RRA Digital, and of course our social media pages. You can like and follow our Facebook fan page The Voice of Indonesia, Instagram and TikTok VOI_official. More VOI talks are available on our YouTube channel VOI Official. Well then, listener, I'm Steve. Stay tuned on RRA Service, Voice of Indonesia. Walau kita berbeda.